Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us and come learn with us. God is so good, and He is giving us really just spectacular gifts and more coming. It's just very, very humbling to know that He does order our steps. And He is in charge of this show. We'd like to give it to Him, and we'd like to start that off again today. I'm going to turn it over to our co-host, Mrs. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara. Well, I'm sorry. I guess I have not done the proper thing. We are starting off kind of on a different time. We're starting a little bit earlier. Hi, Ms. Barbara, just not used to this time frame and what I have to do, so sorry about that. But I'm going to turn it over to you and ask you to I'm going to ask you to start it off on the right. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Yeah, go ahead if you don't mind and start us off.
Okay, good, good. Well, I'd like to start off by reminding everyone that the Bible says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for if we continue, we will reap. In due time, we will reap a harvest. And I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the scriptures to give you the reference or actually to say it absolutely correctly. But basically, that's the idea. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time, we will reap a harvest. And I think it's important to remember that with all the challenges that we're facing. I'd also like to share a quote from John Adams, one of our great founding fathers, our first vice president and our second president of the United States. He said, "Children should be educated and instructed in the principles of freedom." And those principles of freedom we find in the Bible. That's founding fathers found them, and that's how they instructed their children and their children's children. It was all from the biblical foundation. And that's what produced this great nation of freedom and opportunity and prosperity for generations, so that the United States of America became the wonder of the world. And part of that wonder was that our children were at the very top academically. We were the most literate nation on the face of the earth. And we would like to be that again. We would like to be at the very top, that knowing that our children are accomplishing all that they can achieve to the glory of God and the good of mankind. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us in that endeavor. Our dear Heavenly Father, most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name at which every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have the freedom of access through that name and through our relationship with Him that was accomplished for us on the cross, and that we can now have that resurrection life as we surrender our lives to you, O God, just as Jesus Christ surrendered His life on the cross. We thank you, Father, that we do have crosses to bear on this earth, and you tell us in your word that in this world, we will have trials and tribulations, but we're to be of good cheer, for you have overcome the world, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have access to your wisdom, your knowledge and wisdom, and that not only do we have access to it, Father, but that you desire it for us, that you have set aside wisdom for us from the foundation of the world, and that we only have to enter in to where you are to receive it. We thank you, Father, that we can study your word, that we can know you personally and intimately through Christ. our Savior. We ask you to be with us now on this broadcast, that what we would say, Lord, be pleasing to you, and that you would guide us in this conversation. Help us, O God, for our human understanding is not enough. Help us, O God, lead us, guide us to be able to protect our children, Lord. We're looking to you, O God, and we're depending upon you. In Jesus' precious and powerful name, amen.
Ooh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. And thank you for that reminder, Ms. Barbara.
Yes, yes. We can be encouraged. We serve a God, the God of all encouragement, the God of hope. And though we face setbacks and disappointments, as we did yesterday, when that Common Core bill was just removed from consideration, from taking it to the Senate floor, that's a setback. But we're not going to be set back, are we?
No, and we cannot afford to, especially in this land of the free, with our form of government. It would be like a slap in the face of the people that formed this nation, Ms. Barbara, for us not to really keep on, because I think of the process, this Constitution, you know, the checks and balances. We are not a dictatorship. And what happened yesterday smacked of tyranny that the founding fathers, I think, would be turning over in their grave.
That's right, Diana. And, you know, although we do not have enough power with our Washington, D.C. representatives and senators, we really don't. We might as well acknowledge that they need to listen to their constituents more than the people who line their pockets with campaign contributions. But our state people, our state government should be extremely responsive to the people of the state, to their constituents. And we have the same separation of powers in our state government that we have in our national government, and we will not allow a dictatorship. That's right.
Oh, yes, Ms. Barbara. Well, I'm going to try to get our surprise guest on, so if you don't mind, just remind us some more of the history and I try to get a hold of him, if you don't mind.
Okay. And when you get him, just if I'm speaking, please just go ahead and interrupt me. I did want to share some of the words of another great founding father when he's speaking about education. And education was so important to the founding fathers. Many of them knew many different languages, such as Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Noah Webster, just many of them knew different languages. John Adams, John Quincy Adams, you know, just many did. And knowing Latin and Greek was necessary for entering college back then. One part of the entrance exam to Harvard and Yale and colleges, we call them Ivy League colleges now, the prestigious Ivy League colleges. Well, part of the entrance exam was being able to translate the first five chapters of the Book of John from Greek to Latin, Latin to Greek. And started at an early age learning foreign languages. But Sam Adams, the father of the American Revolution, became governor of Massachusetts after the Revolution. And he was addressing the Massachusetts state legislature in 1794. And he was talking about the education needed for the youth in Massachusetts. And I'll share what I can of this before Diana returns with our notable guest. Samuel Adams said, "It has been observed that education has a greater influence on manners than laws have. Human laws excite fears, lest crimes committed be detected and punished. But a virtuous education is calculated to reach and influence the heart and to prevent crime. And I'll pause there for a moment and say, you know, do we need to prevent crimes in our day and age? Our crime rate is astronomical. And we can do more to prevent crimes by reaching and influencing the heart of youth, providing a virtuous education that is calculated to reach and influence the heart and to prevent crime, Sam Adams said. He said, such an education, which lead the youth beyond mere outside show, will impress their minds with a profound reverence of God, universal benevolence, and a warm attachment and affection towards their country. We could use a good dose of patriotism among our youth. And what I have discovered is that the more they learn about the greatness of their country, the great legacy that has been left to them by the founding fathers and those that have gone before them, the more they love their country, the more they learn about the great heroes who sacrificed and contributed so greatly to the well-being of our country during the founding era and up to the present day, the more our youth love their country. It's got to be taught to them or they will not know it. And as St. Augustine said, what people don't know, they don't appreciate. What they don't appreciate, they discard.
So, well, Ms. Barbara,
do we have our guest?
Hi, Ms. Barbara. We have our guest, Senator Beeson, is on with us, Senator Scott Beeson. And Senator Beeson, we are so grateful, sir, for keeping up the fight for us. And I know you don't have much time, so if you don't mind, share with us what is going on.
Well, we had a bad day yesterday, a major setback for the effort to repeal the Common Core initiative or effort. The President Pro Tem of the Senate, Senator Marsh, made the unilateral decision that the Common Core repeal bills were not going to come up. And he actually made sure that my bill that was supposed to be on the calendar yesterday was not on the calendar. And right now we are dead in the water, regardless of what the people of the state want, regardless of how many conservative groups, pro-family groups have looked at what is going to happen with this whole top-down centralization of education. And so yesterday was a very, very bad day for the effort.
What do you think influenced him to take that despicable action, Senator?
Well, I do know that school superintendents from across the state met with him yesterday morning. He did tell me that. And I think they just told him enough stuff that he got he hasn't been studying the issue like I have, like so many people have. There's so many things going on down here, and I believe he just let them convince him that this was a good thing, and he didn't know whether it was good or bad, and he pulled the plug. Now, my argument to him was, look, the people who have been studying this issue, a good number of the senators, understand what is going on, and we want to have a vote on the floor. We want to continue to have our opportunity to push this legislation forward. But apparently those superintendents who, I doubt they have the same worldview we do anyway, apparently influenced them.
Well, it's very heartbreaking, Senator Beeson, because we were very disappointed because we did not realize that we lived in a dictatorship. I did not know there was a king in Alabama, and I hate to say that, but that's, you know, I heard a video of where he was interviewed by a Montgomery Advertiser, and the words I kept hearing was I, and it was I had not studied this issue, and I was not focused on this issue because, of course, there were other issues going on about the state park in particular, you know, So this is very troubling when the issue of parents and children is not number one. We expect it to be that way.
Well, my disappointment is we have a Republican supermajority in the House and the Senate, and whether it is the repeal of Common Core, which so many conservative groups even across the country are unifying around, or whether it's our Second Amendment right, the right for you to be able to defend yourself and your family, how those issues, which so many of us agree on, and so many legislators, especially Republicans, campaign on such issues, why they take, you have to move heaven and earth to pass legislation when it regards those issues, is really beyond my understanding. I would have thought those kinds of things would have been slam dunk, but I think we have to be a little more specific when we're out supporting candidates. It's not good enough to know which party somebody's in. I think you have to ask them if they are indeed conservative, and what are their worldview and principles? What is their worldview and principles? And do they intend to vote based on those principles, or do they intend to vote on, you know, where some members of the business community are, and the people who give political campaign contributions? Because I think we're losing our way in some places.
Well, it's not really hard to study the issue, and I agree with you, Senator Beeson, because when you study it, the only thing most parents really have to know is it's taking away their parental rights. You cannot call anything good when it does that. I don't care if it's the best college and career-ready standards in the world. You cannot do it at the price of taking away parental rights. That is the biggest issue. And Senator Beeson, I don't know if you've heard this, 1,539 principals in New York are in an uproar against this race to the top Common Core. And so for this senator to think that is going to go away, that, you know, we are in error, he is so wrong. And I feel like they're going to get a wake-up call, but we're not going to take this laying down. We're still going to call our senators and ask them to do a miracle for us. So we're going to keep on the fight, Senator Beeson, and we thank God that you are doing that. And I was hoping we would have a friend from New York calling in to tell you just how bad it is, but she's not on yet, but I will share you. Parents and children are in tears over what's going on with Common Core. They thought that they can just pass a bill because what teachers don't understand is it ties your evaluation to the test. And so they're groaning to the point that, you know, their union in New York is standing with the teachers. But what they're now seeing is we have to get rid of Common Core. That is the root of the problem. But as I'm saying, parents and teachers are in an uproar. They're in tears over this Common Core stuff.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, do people really believe that if you centralize, that you decide that a one-size-fits-all, everybody in the country will do the same thing the same day at the same time in the same way? Do people really think that's going to get us the best education system in the world? I don't believe so. And people aren't even talking about the data gathering aspect. You know, I want to know, can little Johnny or little Susie, can they read? Can they do math? Can they write? So that's what I want to know. And I don't have to know their family background and heritage and whether or not the family, you know, has any firearms at home, or what kind of car they drive, and what their worldview is on the environment and global warming. I don't need to know all those kinds of things, and neither does the government.
That's right. I think
the more people find out about this issue, the more angry they're going to be. And what we're going to face here in Alabama is senators and House members are up to speed on this issue. Now, maybe not as much as they want to be because there's two sides, you know, espousing their beliefs, but they do know what the risks are. I know in the Senate our senators know what the risks are, and I believe that the public, when the public finds out more about this, they are going to want to know why we haven't acted already. And there's not going to be a good excuse for a lot of these people. Now, some of us have done all that we can do. But we've got to have allies. We've got to have help. And frankly, the superintendents and the state school board, a number of them, all the way to the state superintendent, have been able to say, if you're against Common Core, you're against high standards, and you must be some right-wing black helicopter conspiracy theorist. One senator actually said, you know, they see boogeymen everywhere. Well, you know what? When the federal government does get involved, and the federal government is tied to this whole issue because they've been putting money behind it and alongside it and incentivizing it, good things don't happen. One senator said yesterday we may have witnessed the end of federalism because education was one of the few things that was truly left to the states, and now we're giving that authority away. And my question to the education community that opposes us is, why do we not already have the highest standards in the country, and why are we, you know, lagging behind? Those things clearly should be left at their feet. And if they have not been able to do a better job over the last 20, 30 years in education here in Alabama, why are we letting them solely choose our path for the future when they've not done such a great job in the past?
That's right. Mm. Well, Senator, I want to say is that the superintendents of education throughout the state are taking their marching orders from the state superintendent of education, Tommy Bice.
I need to not be so hard on them, other than the fact that even if you get an email from the state superintendent, you don't have to go out and march. You know what I'm saying? There is such thing as saying, hey, I've gotten the message, but I'm just not going out to fight that battle. I'm going to make sure the kids in my district are getting an education. So there is some responsibility on those who have moved and acted. But I think a lot of it is, they haven't really had the time to look at what is really going on from a political movement. All they see is, hey, we're going to get some new textbooks and we're all going to be on the same page, and wouldn't that be grand? They're not thinking about what is at stake.
And they're being told that these are rigorous standards, and that's
rigorous.
Repeated
that's
over and over again. But, you know, our local superintendent admitted to me on the radio that yesterday that he really didn't know much about it, that other people had been studying, and, you know, really the opposition probably knew more. But he was there taking part with the superintendent of education for the state.
Yes, that's right. I think that's an interesting thing. People need to understand that. They really don't know that. In their heart, they want the best, and they're being told by people who should know that this is the best, and they're just not taking time to look at it. But one thing we all have to remember, and these are big, big issues for the future, whatever you teach the children today will be your national policy in the future. And the left and the liberals understand that completely. And for the people on the right who believe in traditional values, who believe in the founding fathers and the founding generation, believe in the Constitution as it was written, we have to be much more vigilant. And this whole effort to repeal Common Core is about being vigilant about our values and our beliefs, and that we care about the direction of the country. And if we let this continue on, you know, indoctrination is bad enough in education historically. This is really going to push it off the edge.
You're right.
Well,
you're right.
It's so sad when I hear Senator Del Marsh, and I think, you know, he's preferring to believe Tommy Bice, and I would respect him to in that position, but not to the point of ignoring what the RNC has said, you know, because they have researched it. It's not to the point of ignoring the fact that there is now a move to defund Common Core. Chuck Grassley is looking into this. Also, the House is looking into this. And also, it doesn't take a neurosurgeon to study the Common Core website. You know, what is Common Core? It is copyrighted. It says that it is the property. It's not property of the state of Alabama. Somebody else is going to be running the show. But also that overreach that Tommy Bice had done with trying to get money from the Reading and Math Initiative Center, Beeson, that's just a sign of things to come, because this thing is going to take a lot more money than what he said.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And there's people are going to use it for their political gains. There's going to be financial gains. There's a tremendous amount of money when you're talking about education dollars, especially if they're funneling through a centralized location where you have to buy the textbooks or purchase textbooks, et cetera. And it really is an amazing thing. And I can't express enough how disappointed I am that the Senate, because of Senator Marsh's decision, is not going to debate whether or not we're going to repeal Common Core. And I think we should have taken it up, even if it took a couple of days' worth of time. I think this is a very, very big issue. And it's just been interesting to see how this legislature is performing under the current leadership.
Well, it's very, very troubling because go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Just one question. Has Senator Marsh ever taken loan action? I assume he did not consult with the other senators before he made this decision and acted on it. So has he ever, has he acted like this before, taken action all by himself without consulting the other senators, particularly in the Republican caucus?
I can't remember a time where it was completely unilateral. We had to work on the gun bill for a lot longer than I thought we should have had to before we got it to the floor, and there's been those kinds of decisions made. But this is the first one, at least I've been involved with, where I expected a piece of legislation to be on the calendar, and then I come in and it's not there, and then I find out that it's been removed. But some of the story behind the scenes is that there were a number of Republican senators who had issues because they were solidly committed to both sides. They told the superintendents they were going to not vote for it if it came up, and then they told Tea Party conservative Republicans that they were with them too, and that they didn't want to see it come up because it would show where they were. So we've still got a lot of work to do, even on the membership, but I was not privy and was not told who those people were. Was it one? Was it two? I know Senator Holtzclaw up in Huntsville has been a staunch defender of Common Core, apparently because of the military influence up in North Alabama. But beyond that, I don't know who else was there, and I could have just been being told that because it was a nice narrative for an excuse.
Well, time is of the essence. Children, we almost feel that children are for sale in our state. And we know we saw the Georgia press conference on what Georgia's trying to get out, Senator Ligon. They said that the children will be behind 2 years in regard to their math, because the math is so convoluted. But so really, who we're sacrificing by putting this off another year are the children. And that's
absolutely
a sad state of affairs.
And after another year, you will have the state school board superintendent will say, well, we've already spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and we can't go back now. You will call, they're already saying that this week, that we will have wasted all this money. And my response is, you wasted it by making the decision to enter into this. We're just trying to cut our losses and put us back on the positive path. But
Senator Beeson,
a lot of liberal people embedded in some very powerful places in this state, and we've never really taken the school board seriously. We've never taken some of our local offices seriously. I mean, you saw even on the gun bill, how many sheriffs are opposed to your right to, bear arms, or at least not without having to ask them for permission and pay them money for it. We've got to really become more vigilant about who we're voting for at every governmental level, because eventually it comes back and bites you if you ignore the scorpion.
That's right. And here we have, as State Superintendent of Education, an Obama supporter, Tommy Bice. He was at President Obama's inauguration with his family. He is a supporter of Obama. And this is Obama.
Are you kidding me? No, you've got to be kidding me. Wait. Go back. Are you?
I'm not kidding you.
I did not know that. Are you serious?
I'm serious. Ask him.
Wow. I did not know that, because I was making the joke yesterday that why are we listening to people who probably have Obama stickers on the back of their car? And then I talked to you today, and I couldn't have made it up any better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is Obama's education package, and it is his worldview. It is his values that will be embedded in it. And, you know, that's what we were told. That's what we were told some time ago.
I would love for somebody to help me know that for sure. That would make a good talking point. So anything y'all can gather up and find out about that, I would appreciate it.
Okay, I'll try to track it down.
Okay, great. Yes.
They make the point they've already invested millions of dollars, and they don't want to waste that money. It's never bothered them before. Why should it start now? Especially when the second thing is, I come from a point of view, having been, I'm the son of a retired soldier, and so I've spoken on the show before how I've fallen short moving around from state to state,
right,
and even country to country. So I can understand how they use that as a selling point, because I almost didn't graduate from high school, and I carried a solid B average because of the duty transfers of my dad. I'm opposed to Common Core because I'm also a retired Alabama public school teacher. I'm a retired public school teacher, and I know
these
standards do. They the local superintendent here down in Dothan, which I don't know what planet he's come from. I think he thinks L.A. means Los Angeles rather than Lower Alabama sometimes. But he was talking about getting all the kids up to the same standards. That sounds all warm and fuzzy and good, except for the fact that it doesn't do us any good to get everybody up to the same standards if those are lousy standards. And we're teaching the minimums rather than pushing our kids to achieve. As a public school teacher, I know when you begin to teach, and we had the graduation exam for years, we were teaching to the test, and the test was a minimum. And we lost many of our best and brightest because we bored them. Now, we could one of the arguments, and you probably use this, we don't have to surrender our sovereignty to manage our curriculum to cooperate with other states. I have no problems with interstate cooperation.
You and I are on the same page. I have said, why do we not just, and they love it when I say this, I said, why don't we just look on their paper?
Yeah.
From old classroom thing. Why don't we look on their paper and copy what they're doing without having to be tied to them? And that's the mystery of this whole thing, is that why are they pushing so hard to keep us from getting us out of Common Core when they say we're not really tied to it? If we're not tied to it, they ought not be fighting us at all, because it's
the problem is they're not telling the truth. And I think I saw Becky. Is that you? Did you want to get a word in there twice? Is that your best? Okay, go ahead, Becky.
Can you hear me? Okay, I just wanted to give you a quick update from the meeting this morning at the House committee meeting. They did have a public hearing, and they will vote on it next week. There was about the same amount of opposition as proponents. But it's interesting, and Scott, maybe you can answer the question on this. If the Senate is not going to vote on Common Core, I don't understand why the House is even bothering with this bill coming up. Is this just a dog and pony show?
Well, it very well could be. Sometimes what happens in legislative bodies is one body will pass something so they can say they voted for it, knowing that it would die in the other chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the House passes it, and it gives us another opportunity to try one more time to get it on the calendar and pass something. So the House needs to be very careful. They need to pass the best bill they can, and maybe it'll give us one more shot. But we just can't stop fighting until there's no opportunities left.
So we need to be calling all our senators and forcing a vote and calling the governor too.
Well, I'd be calling the Speaker of the House. Everybody needs to call the Speaker of the House. He runs the House with an iron fist. What he says goes. And if he said that bill would come out, that bill will come out, and he'll send it to the Senate if he sees fit. If it doesn't, it'll be because he didn't think it was that important. That's how strong he is in the House of Representatives.
Well, and the Education Committee for the House should be called as well, since they will be voting on it on Wednesday. And can I just share something? You sort of touched on it earlier, but a new article just came out this morning from the Heartland Institute talking about the National Governors Association. It is a federal contractor, which is interesting. 80% of their funds comes from taxpayers. So even though the federal government can't actually, you know, they don't have the authority to write these standards, they've contracted someone else to write them. So people really need to be aware. It is truly a federal control of education, and they're not being told that.
I know y'all have my email address. Will y'all email me that? Because I would like
sure,
to share that
sure.
to Senator Marsh today also. And
yes,
I'm trying my best to revive the issues. But any information you can send me, please do on that. I'd like to see that.
Oh, and you need a copy of the Common Core website, too. I guess the basic thing that says it is property, it's copyrighted. That seems to be, information 101 you should have. But, Senator Beeson, thank you for this time. And I'll go ahead, Becky, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I did call the National Governors Association, and Senator Beeson, I think I talked to you about this before. I called them and talked to their Common Core department and asked them, okay, we're here in Alabama, and if we see something in these Common Core state standards, we don't like them. We want to make an amendment or an adjustment. Can we do that? And they said, no, these are 100% copyrighted, and you can't do that. So,
thank you.
I mean, that's from the horse's mouth as well.
Yeah, that's just amazing. It really is. And we just got to keep getting the information out. And I appreciate y'all giving me the chance to talk. I'm about to get on the elevator and leave.
Oh,
but,
one more thing, Senator Beeson. If you don't mind, tell the governor if it needs a special session, we've got to have something. We need it because those kids are going to suffer another year. And they don't need that because the truth is on our side. Thank you, sir. God bless
you.
Bye-bye. Well, Becky, thank you so much. You know, and I think we've just got to keep on. We cannot stop because the children's in the middle here. They're the ones that's going to suffer. We can go another day. But meanwhile, they have to sit through this another year.
Yeah. Let me tell you something else I learned today. LAMP is one of the magnet schools here in Montgomery, and they are number 7 in the nation for schools. And they're number 1 in Alabama school-wise and then number 1 as a magnet school as well. Now, if we all go to Common Core, their standards are going to be lower, and they probably won't be number 7 in the nation anymore, and they won't be number 1 in the state anymore because we're all going to be common and we're all going to be doing the same thing. And, you know, it's just more to think about.
Well, I think we have to do some educating. Senator Dale Marsh's district, he's from the Anniston area, and I know, you know, Pastor Wayne, as you were mentioning, you're in the military, but, you know, you're not willing to settle for these kind of standards, you know, and really give up the chance for the best standards. So, Pastor Wayne, I think we need to push that issue with the Anniston folks. I know they're military, a lot of them military.
Well, you know, the problem is you're striving for mediocrity at best rather than achieving excellence. And, you know, the thing was, you know, as we used to call No Child Left Behind, and the teachers used to call it No Kid Gets Ahead either, you know. And that's the problem when you're dealing with Common Core. And, of course, they keep talking leveling the playing field. That sounds great, you know, if you're on the bottom, I guess. But what it does, it's a stifles achievement. And then at the same time they talk about, well, we've got to compete with the best and the brightest of India and China and Japan. Well, how do you do that if you're stifling your best and your brightest and keeping them down to mediocrity? Because when your job is on the line, and this is a reality here. We see it in the cheating scandals, and I'm not condoning what these teachers in Atlanta and these other places are doing, but the system encourages that because these people's livelihood are on the line. And you're going to teach to the test because that's how you're evaluated. So you've got Albert Einstein over here in the corner who, while you're trying to teach him addition and subtraction, and you're teaching the whole class addition and subtraction, you know, Albert Einstein here is wanting to get into quantum physics. Well, you discourage him. I don't know how many kids I had that were super smart, high IQs, They actually dropped out of school because they were discouraged. They weren't being challenged. They dropped out of school, took their GED, and went on to junior college and college because they weren't being challenged by the high school.
I point out something regarding this international testing? And this is something you guys can research, but when you think of how big America is, you know, we have 300 million people. And when we show the test scores, we have our special ed kids in with our brightest kids. And that's how they get, you know, where our standing is. When you look at the other countries, they take the top 10% of their students and compare their top 10 with our entire student population. So it may sound like we're not doing that great internationally, but you're comparing apples with oranges. And for us to still be competitive, even with our lowest kids being added into, you know, that population of test scores, we're doing really well. We've been given this perception that we're these, you know, we're all dumb and, you know, we just can't measure up. But these small countries take their top 10% and they compare them to our entire student population. So keep that in mind when you're looking at that.
I've been saying that for years, Becky, and I'm glad you said it because I've said it for years. And people don't realize that. If you really want to look at how good our education system is, look at our university system, because that's part of the education system too. We forget that. The university system is the continuation of our public education and whatever. If we have such a lousy education system, why do people from across the globe send their kids here to get their college educations? And we filter the kids out. Yeah, it's just, you know, and I used to tell the story of the Troy State parking lot, and I used to use that as an example. Very easy to get into Troy. It was hard to stay there. And when we were on the quarter system, in the fall quarter, you couldn't find a parking spot on Troy. First week of the 88-89 school year, they wrote out 4,000 parking tickets in the first week because you couldn't find any place to park. All these new freshmen coming up from high school, going to college, by spring, you can park almost anywhere you wanted. Because the attrition, it's the excellence. But the problem is, down at the public school system, they want everybody to graduate. As I've said before, if you give everybody in America a high school diploma, that diploma won't be worth the paper it's written on. We have to meet the needs of the lower the lower achievers educational wise, and I think that's where we fail, is we're trying to give everybody the same education. But we don't need to stifle our best and brightest either. You know, and the current plan of one size fits all fails. It has failed. It is failing now. It will continue to fail.
Pastor Wayne, I think this issue is not so hard for us to understand when we really put the children first. And
it's really
so shocking to me. At what, Becky, have you seen that interview that has been posted, the little video by Montgomery Advertiser on Del Marsh answering a few questions? What he was saying was, and it reminded me so much of Obama, it was odd. I had not had a chance to study this. I had not had time to study this. And I had not really focused on this. His focus was on a lot of other things, just like the passage of the bill for, I guess, a state park to be pretty much given to those that can build whatever, condominiums. But anyway, so, you know, it's just the little bit that you got out of that video was really shocking about a man who should not be in that position of power. I hate to say it, but it was shocking.
No, I did not watch it. I have the link in my email. I just haven't had time to watch it. However, they were discussing it this morning with a group of people that said the same thing as you're saying. So, you know what? I need to jump off because my battery is just about to die.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Well, thank you, Becky.
Can I share something with you real quick before you sign off?
Sure.
You asked Senator Beeson whether there was any point in the House passing their own bill with his dog and pony show. It could be, but by the same token, if the House passes its own version of the bill, sends it up to the Senate, it might get momentum back into the Senate bill and get this back on the front burner again. It might give us an excuse to bring it up to their attention again and get action on it in the Senate.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, that's what we need to be doing, working on, and not letting it die.
Well, thanks for all your hard work,
Becky.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Becky. God bless you. Talk to you again.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I really, it's been kind of fast and furious, Pastor Wayne, but again, you know, I see an article on Dale Marsh. It says Dale Marsh gets his head handed to, let's see, Dale Marsh gets his head handed to him on double dipping, and he deserves it, by Joey Kennedy. It seems that Marsh decided ethics reform wasn't a good idea and introduced a bill to allow lawmakers holding two state jobs to continue serving. So I'm thinking to myself, something's wrong with this guy. He was the only one, I think. The Senate should have killed the bill with 11 senators voting for it and 18 senators voting against it. He was the only Republican who voted for the bill. What's wrong with him?
Well, I mean, he's trying to play both sides of the fence there. And
that's what happened. You said it perfect, because I remember reading an article where he was quoted as saying if this bill gets before the Senate, that he saw that it was going to pass.
Yeah.
And then what does he come with the next day? He's not going to allow it to pass.
Somebody talked to him. See, here's the thing. We're living in a new day and time. And mores and what is acceptable changes over time. I mean, you think about how Andrew Jackson introduced the spoils system into government by rewarding his cronies with jobs and whatever. Well, if he did that today, he would have been impeached. Jack Kennedy, put his brother Bobby as his attorney general. Well, that ended that. That was the end, because Lyndon Johnson made sure that wouldn't happen again, basically because he hated the Kennedy so much. But times change in what people accept more. When you think about, and I'm getting to a point here, so just hang with me for a minute. When you watch the old Andy Griffith show and you see pictures of Sheriff Andy taking Ann B to the grocery store in a squad car and buying groceries, well, back in the 50s and the 60s, nobody thought twice of that. If you had a policeman or a sheriff do that today, well, he'd be under charges, lose his job, because we don't accept that anymore, all the perks and whatever. Years ago, we had a mayor locally got caught buying stuff at hardware stores for home repairs with the city credit card. Now, he reimbursed the town for every item he bought with the city credit card. He paid it back. The thing was, by using the city credit card, he didn't have to pay sales tax. He got in trouble for that. Well, years ago, nobody thought twice about that. Today, they do. And so what happens is what people will tolerate from their public servants is getting narrower and narrower. Used to be, you got a job as a public servant, and you got to do pretty much what you wanted, and you could retire rich off of it. People are getting tired of that because it's our taxpayers' dime that's paying for it. Used to be a politician could go before, let's just say, a union audience, and he could be pro-labor against the bosses. And he could go before a bunch of businessmen, the union workers' bosses, and he'd be anti-union and pro-business. And then if he got in a mixed audience, he'd develop laryngitis. Well, Del Marsh has just developed laryngitis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I have a different name for it.
But you see, you can't get away with that like you used to. You used to be able to get away with it. But in these days, when everybody has cell phones and video cameras, and what you say 1 minute goes on the internet and is broadcast to everybody the next, you can't get away with what you used to be able to get away with. Politicians are finding that out.
Let me go ahead and put this in because we've got to turn in an hour show, and I don't want this cut off because you just brought it up. We need to be calling him. Yeah, we need to be calling him. We need to be faxing him. I mean, I'm going to give the numbers out for Del Marsh. It's area code 256-237-8647. 256-237-8647 is his phone number, but there's a fax number. We need those hard, you know, letters or faxes sent to him. So area code 256-237-1579. You know, it doesn't sound to me like they're very happy with the things he's done, and we, the parents, grandparents, are certainly not very happy with this because he was saying he had not studied. He was saying he was not focused on this issue as if it was not that important. And I'm thinking, you could promise me the moon, the world, everything, but if you don't do right by the children, forget those promises, forget those other things. So he needs to get this one right. We need to contact him. We also need to be contacting our House committee members. Right. So I'm going to give the House numbers, 242-7600. And for the Education Policy Committee, you've got, Mary Sue McClarkin, Bill Williams, Marcel Black. Those are the three main ones. And I think they were saying we need to contact the House Speaker. Is that right?
Right. He controls the power, even in the State House and in the national, you know, the federal. The Speaker of the House, he controls everything that goes on. He or she controls everything.
Please, folks, contact 334-242-7600 and get the Speaker of the House on, and, you know, leave a message, fax messages. Go ahead, Pastor Ray.
And don't forget to call your state senator, because this isn't dead in the Senate yet. He has tabled that bill. That's not killing it. He's tabled it. In other words, it's sitting there. He's not going to act on it. It's not dead until the state legislature adjourns. If you get enough attention called to that bill and let him know it's important and let your state senators know it's important, they can force a vote on that bill if he gets enough people pounding him about that.
Folks,
We need to be calling our state senators. You need to be calling your House, get that bill passed in the House, because if they've got a bill passed in the House, it goes to the Senate. That brings it alive again, the issue alive.
Because we need to not let this issue die.
You got to resurrect this bill. It is not that he did not kill the bill. As long as the legislature is in session, that bill's still alive.
I just hope that people have relatives in Anniston, too, around his district, Pastor Wayne. They need to be contacting him. They are missing on this. They have a chance to impact the whole state because, you know, they can hold him accountable. Really, the whole state needs to hold him accountable. And this guy is a Republican, and he I'm so shocked at the video. I'm going to pass that video, folks. It's going to be on cityonahill.tv. We need for it to go viral. And, you know, I don't mean to talk bad about him, but the children are most important. And
he's elected to serve us, we the people. And, folks, again, I'm an Army brat. I am all for the idea of everybody being on the same book. I know how military kids suffer moving from state to state, requirement to requirement, but it does no one any good if we teach everybody the same thing, if it's mediocre or worse. We should be
trying
to
it's worse, too. Yeah. It's worse, too, Pastor Wayne, because the more you understand, the more we understand, folks, when you study Common Core, the worst thing about it that stands out is taking away the parental authority over the children's education. You must not do that. That's not constitutional. That's not what the founders wanted. So main point, every parent needs to get in their head, this is copyrighted, and you know what copyrighted means. You cannot change it. You don't own it. Alabama does not own it. And, yes, it was on the racist top application, but it was also on the No Child Left Behind waiver application. Tommy Bice put it in there. So we need to be clear about that. He says these are Alabama standards, but when you look at these websites, it says this is the property of the NGA Center. The NGA Center is a development firm. It's a firm. It's a company. And then you look at the ESEA flexibility request regarding No Child Left Behind on the application. It says here, and I will read it to you. It says here, this flexibility is intended to build on and support significant state and local reform effort already underway in critical areas such as transitioning to college and career-ready standards and assessment. But it says also further, prior to submitting this request, teachers, et cetera, reviewed the Alabama standards and the Common Core state standards and compiled the best of both into the Alabama College and Career Ready standards. But people need to understand the Alabama standards is not going to be more than 15% because Common Core will not allow. They will only allow up to 15% of what we see as our standards, and our standards will not be tested.
Let me tell you, what is not tested will not be taught in the classroom. Because teachers' job hinges on test scores. And you've got only so much time to cram this stuff. I know this from experience.
And the Common Core state standards passed away. And again, you know, when you read this, their flexibility request for the No Child Left Behind waiver, it says it right there. You know, the Alabama standards and the Common Core state standards were compiled into the Alabama College and Career Ready standards. So, folks, that wording ought to tell you you're under Common Core. You cannot get out of it. Tommy Boss is misrepresented again.
Can I give you a specific here? People, you know, we're talking in general terms and whatever, but let me give you one specific thing that just raises my alarm bells and gets my radar going. When you look at the reading standards, they're going to reduce literature, reading literature, the great classics or whatever, down to less than 20% of the total reading requirement. Reading under Common Core will be 80%, at least 80%, learning to read technical manuals and instruction materials. Now, look, there is a weakness in our education system on that. We have to send overseas for even writing instructions on how to. That's why if you read, get your instructions on your stuff you buy, a lot of times it reads funny. It's because they're having it written in Japan and China, because there is a weakness in our education. It needs to be addressed. But when you reduce reading literature down to less than 20%, you not only take away the joy of reading from students, but you take away higher reading skills from students. It's a scary thought to me to have a nuclear physicist who's never read the Bible or even Shakespeare. That's a scary thought in my mind because of the humanity involved. It's a dumbing down of the curriculum.
Well, I thank you for pointing that out because, Pastor Wayne, we will be relegated to just pieces of furniture then. If you take away the humanity, then, yeah, you're dealing with furniture. And, yeah, there's no problem with having abortions galore because, you know, they're just cells. But let me read this, if you don't mind. It's from Miss Lisa Adams-Harris, who was on the Glenn Beck Show. She can't be on. I messaged her, but she's got a problem with her throat. But she is awesome, too, Pastor Wayne. Love for her to be on with us. But I want to read this to her because it's so important the way she stated this. The following statement by Dr. Tommy Bice from yesterday is a blatant lie and the kind of spin he's selling. State Superintendent of Education Tommy Bice said fears of Alabama ceding control of its public schools to the federal government and sharing personal information about students are unfounded because Alabama is not a race to the top state and it's not part of two federally funded assessment consortia. Facts. She lists facts. One, we didn't get funds, but in the grant application for race to the top funds, it explicitly states that states, by virtue of application, agree to adopt the standards and requirements regardless of whether or not we get the dollars. Alabama applied for RTT in both phase 1 and phase 2. Alabama applied for a No Child Left Behind waiver on August 30, 2012, again further agreeing to implement the standards and requirements. So we've double yoked ourselves here, or I guess put a noose in our neck twice. the majority of the Alabama State Board of Education voted to adopt the standards sight unseen in 2010. I remember seeing the paperwork on that. They signed it on January 2010. Number five, attempts by minority members of the school board, Governor Bentley, Betty Peterson, Stephanie Bell, to overturn the adoption have failed. Assessment consortium, that just means that those two companies received hundreds of millions of stimulus tax dollars to write the assessments fully aligned to the standards. The standards teach should test, as you were saying. However, Alabama approved and is this week giving a piloted version of another U.S. Department of Education approved Common Core Aligned Test, ACT Aspire. ACT Aspire has components that do psychological assessment. And when Tommy Bice was questioned about this, he said he did not know that ACT, who is chosen, was aligned with Common Core, but yet it's right there on their website, had been since September of 2012.
You got to understand, let me share with you how curriculum and course of studies affect and tests affect teaching. I know a teacher who told me she only spent one day on the American Civil War in her American history class. The American Civil War is probably the pivotal event in U.S. history, or maybe one of two or three pivotal events in U.S. history. She spent one day. Do you know why she spent only one day on the American Civil War? Because she found out there were only three questions on the ACT dealing with the American Civil War.
Wow.
So she made sure she covered the materials, taught the materials the student needed to know for the ACT, and then moved on. Yeah, there was a war, 1865.
One day. Well, it's not really funny. It is sad.
That's an extreme case, but it's an illustration of what you're talking about with the Common Core and the testing here.
That's what's going on, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had really wanted Janine Cassetti to be on because I listened to Janine presenting their case before a senator in New York, his staffer. And, you know, these parents are so fired up, mad. You know, when you see 1,539 principals mad, you know there's tons of parents and teachers mad. And, I mean, they have their facts.
And the major difference between these 1,539 principals who are up in arms and multiply those principals by I don't know how many teachers who work under them. And the difference between the bunch that paraded up before the Senate yesterday is these folks who in New York have lived under Common Core and have tried to teach under Common Core and work under Common Core. These folks that were in Montgomery yesterday are talking about theory and what they've been told. The folks in New York who are up in arms in open rebellion have actually lived under it.
And that is why the teachers union is really helping the teachers fight this, because the teachers are screaming. They're angry. And the parents are frustrated because they know the price is being paid by these students and also the teachers, because the teachers are leaving.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm just really floored. If they could hear some of the stories, I had read some of the stories from New York, and this is what's so damaging with the mainstream media. Pastor Wayne, they are in collusion with these people that will just hurt our children. To me, it's cowardice. When you have the truth, and you do not share it.
Actually, you know, I don't know if sometimes it's an open collusion or an intentional collusion, you know, to stop the truth, or it's just what they consider important based on their values. I mean, what's more important is it the fact our kids are getting dumbed down, our kids are being victimized by an inefficient education system, by a badly written curriculum, course of study, or Kim Kardashian's dress size, or Lindsay Lohan getting busted for DUI again? Yeah, what's more important?
Wow. And then we wonder why we have the Lindsay Lohans. We wonder why the children are committing all these atrocities, hurting each other, crime, the crime against each other, the bullying. We wonder. But then, in essence, I guess that's really the price when, I hate to say it, Pastor Wayne, I have to lay at the feet of the church again. Because in an instant, if the church would just inform their parents that they love, and I know they say, we love you, our members, we'll do this and that for you. But at the same time, when they don't tell the parents that your house is burning, your child is in danger. How much love is that?
As a body, the church has a hard enough fight as it is. Because if we get you in church on Sunday morning, we got you an hour and a half, all right? You go to Sunday school, 2.5, 3 hours on Sunday. If you come back to church Sunday night, we got you for another hour, okay? There's maybe two, three, 4 hours on Sunday. Maybe you come to Wednesday night prayer service. That's 5 hours a week on average, if you've got that. And with church attendance lowering, it's probably even lower than that. But let's just say you've got a good regular church attendee. You've got 4 or 5 hours a week at church. Now, that's how much time the church has with your kids. At school, they're spending 6-7 hours a day, 5 days a week, 30 hours, at least 180 days a year. 30 hours a week. Against that, you've got five. It's tough enough as it is to counteract that influence, especially when as long ago as 1988, they estimated the average father spent less than 5 minutes a day in meaningful conversation with his kids. That is if dad's still in the home. We've got a tough enough job to counteract what's being the indoctrination of the public schools without us not even trying.
And I think they missed the point that in the bottom line is this, that they're going to change the mindset of the children.
Sure.
Where they won't care about church, they won't know about God because it will be taught to them that that's a sign of weakness.
Church attendance is declining. They're being brought up in a godless society.
Mm.
We're being, look, nature abhors a vacuum. As Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. And that's it, There is no such thing as a vacuum. If they chase God out of the schools, guess who's going to march in? There's no such thing as a vacuum in nature.
Right. I guess I need to really just be praying for Dale Marsh because I believe he has children. A lot of these legislators, they have families. And I guess it is true, they have not studied because had they really studied what we know, it would scare them to the point of they will not stop until this thing is out of the schools. He has not studied.
Sure. When they're listening to the so-called experts, when you got like the superintendent of Dothan City Schools, who's got a big old PhD and he's got all this great ideas, when you've got Dr. Tommy Bice, who's the hired gun to come in and run the Alabama schools, these are supposed to be the pros from Dover. If you can't trust them, who can you trust, right?
Well, Pastor Wayne, let me ask you about this.
Experts. And I'm not saying that in a blasphemous way. I'm saying that literally. May the Lord save us from experts.
Because
what
they
are
know
the experts
so much better
then?
Than parents.
That's right.
Know so much more than the parents. But the parents need to be taken completely out of the picture. We will raise
exactly
the children.
Right. Exactly right.
Well, let me ask you this. The governor's part. Could he not put in, with what we're finding out that, really, Tommy Bice is a lobbyist. And we know, as Lisa Adams-Harris has pointed out, he's spewing lies. And, you know, you don't have to go very far. The facts are out there. The paperwork's out there. It's not even hidden to know that these are lies. I mean, I just hate to think that, you know, he was able to move funds out. And, yeah, they're going to do the correction, but this man just gets to go and spew some more lies. How can we sit back and nothing be done? I mean, most places, they would fire such a person,
well,
I would think.
I don't know what you do with the state school, the superintendent of education. I know I believe it is a hired position, but what do you have to, once you hire him, can you just remove him? Does he have to be impeached? Do you have to have cause? You know, I don't know that you can just fire him on a whim. That opens up a whole big can of worms and legal.
I see what you're saying, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's too bad that we cannot penalize these people in office for life.
Well, we can penalize them, and that's the thing. You know, Vice's contract comes up eventually. You lobby to have that he doesn't get rehired. I need to look into that more. I should know more. When I was a teacher, I just basically, if they let me close the door to my classroom and just work with my kids and play with my kids, I was happy. I tried to stay out of the politics of it. Couldn't always do that. But, you know, as far as Del Marsh, hey, he has to run for re-election, doesn't he? And what you need to do is find somebody to run against him in the primary. And that's what we have to do. We have to, these guys, if they don't, that's what the electoral process is about. He has to run for re-election, and we hold these people accountable. Yeah, and then we let the people decide. We run alternative candidates who do hold to what we believe, and then we let the electoral process play out. But we let them know we're going to hold them accountable. They decide. Yeah, he may be dealing with, you know, what I call political laryngitis right now because he's played both sides of the fence. Well, let's hold him accountable then if that's what's going on. Make him decide which side of the fence he's going to get on.
That's what
Senator Beast was saying. Some of these people have tried to play both sides of the fence. They don't want to have to get off the fence and decide which side they're going to be on. We have to call them on that. You know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And it's time for the people to rise up. You know, and I'm not saying this isn't Workers of the World Unite or anything. It's time for us to let them know we're going to hold them accountable at the polling booth. Their job up there, their cushy position up there in the state legislature, getting paid tens of thousands of dollars for a couple weeks' work a year, is dependent on the goodwill of their voters who put them up there. And we need to let them know. We need to let them know when we're pleased with them. We need to let them know when we're upset with them. That's our right as citizens. And then we express our pleasure or displeasure at the polls. And if they don't do the job we hired them, elected them to do, we throw the bums out and we get someone else in there and give them a chance.
Well, we definitely are going to be doing that.
And that's what you let him know. I don't know, you know, they run staggered. I think they run staggered terms of office up there, you know, but you let them know that when your time's up, we're going to remember how you stood on this or didn't stand on this. We're going to remember how you voted on this. Oh, yeah, you refused to vote on this, and we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to find someone who is going to represent our point of view.
Let me tell you what it says on the Senator Marsh's page, Pastor Wayne. Senator Marsh was he is serving a fourth term. Senator Marsh was elected president pro tempore of the Senate on December 8, 2010.
Okay, so he's up for it. He may be up for re-election in 2014. That's next year. See, a lot of times they vote thinking, well, they'll forget by the time the election's coming up. But he's a little, maybe 18 months out.
Well, I guess he's figuring, I don't know, somebody's convinced him that he's going to get a lot of help from the BCA. a lot of help from the teachers, but I think once the teachers find out and hear the truth about the stories coming out of New York, that here's, you know, parents and teachers, the union of, you know, parents and teachers in New York are to get rid of this stuff, I think they're going to start looking at, and I think they're going to vote rightly. They're going to make sure that we get rid of Common Core, that it does not do what it's done to other states like Georgia and New York. You know, we hear the stories of all this problem with the cheating of testing, propping up the grades, and really that's the wave of the future, because they're going to be so much concentrated on these tests.
Sure.
It's going to be just a teacher will not have room to move. She won't be a teacher anymore, really.
No, you're going to be a facilitator. And, you know, what you saw in Atlanta, I got a gut feeling that's going on all over the country, because teachers feel pressured to do it. Now, ethical teachers, they won't cheat no matter what. You know, I would, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to cheat on it. I mean, you got to live with yourself. But I don't condone, I don't approve, if you understand what I'm trying to say, but I do understand, even while I'm disgusted by what they did. I hope y'all understand what I'm trying to say. It's you reap what you sow. Everything becomes the test, the be-all, the end-all, the test. And yes, you've got to measure. And I don't know if there's a perfect solution to it. I don't know if there's a... Because if you don't test,
I think the problem... Well, I think part of the problem, though, is not, we've always had testing. You know, we've always pretty much, that I know, had testing. But it's to the point where they're trying to gather so much data now. So, you know, you're not going to have a few tests. You're going to have a ton of tests. And
it's
so all they do is prepare for the test. And so really teaching is no longer teaching, because they're concentrating on teaching for the test. So I think that is so different, that that's what these parents are rising up against. And the kids are so sick of it.
We lost 5 or 6 weeks out of the school year due to different tests we had to take. There were 2 weeks out of the year we had graduation exam, maybe three. Then there were the California Achievement Test and the SATs, and then there were several other tests and then the whole week was just dedicated to nothing but testing the student body. You're so busy testing, you don't have time to teach.
In Alabama, we signed on to Aspire, which is even going to really try to record, you know, all sorts of other things, emotional.
Just
psychoanalysis stuff. I mean, parents really need to get more information.
Well,
they go to Truth in American Education. There's so much great stuff there. Tell you the truth, Pastor Wayne, there's so much stuff. I shouldn't say overwhelming. You know, it doesn't take much to know this is wrong, because there's so much wrong.
Collection and the data mining disturbs me, and the labeling. You know, they're asking about the religious background of folks. They're asking, you know, there's one thing I read that they're actually asking if your family owned guns and what guns, you know, they owned and whatever. If that's true, and I only saw that one place, I think, what business is that of theirs? You know, but then even in Obamacare, you know, I'm hearing stories of Obamacare. Doctors are asking patients if they own a gun or not. It's nobody's business. But if you refuse to answer, well, you're actually saying yes, you know. Do you feel much better since you stopped beating your husband? You know, that kind of question they're at. You know, I mean, it's just like, I mean, these are the kinds of questions they ask you. I mean, it's just like, gosh, it's insane the brave new world we find ourselves in.
It is, Pastor Wayne. But I'm hoping, Pastor Wayne, that they have overreached, because now they have come out after the children. And I don't think parents are going to take, once they find out, they're going to be like you and me. They will not stop. We're just starting, really. So, you know, for Dale Marsh and the others that's on the wrong side of this issue, they can forget thinking they will win this in the long run. That's not going to happen.
The sad thing is, too often, people don't wake up until it hits home, and then it's usually
right.
too late.
Well,
that's what's going on
in New York.
If you look at numbers, you know, I just be honest. We've lost some listeners. We've gotten on the Common Core because people say, "Well, I'm tired of hearing about Common Core." Understand, but it's important. It's vitally important when it's your kid coming home, and your kid can't get a job, or your kid doesn't know how to read, because they passed through 12, 13 years of public school and haven't learned anything but have been brainwashed.
I hate to tell you this. I just saw that we have another guest with us, so I'm guessing it's Ken Freeman. Is that you, Mr. Ken?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Yes, I can hear you. Fighting the battle in Montgomery.
Well, yeah, we've heard you've been at the forefront, and Pastor Wayne is with me, and, you know, we are talking about this Common Core thing, and I'm thinking the more I know about it, the madder I get. And I'm thinking every parent that finally gets it, I think the more they, you know, the madder they're going to get. So I just really don't think this is going to go away. If you've got children, I just don't see this going away.
No, it's going to be, I think, probably nationwide as well as Alabama. It's going to be the campaign issue, or at least one of the main campaign issues next year. Because the deeper we get into this thing, I mean, people are already upset over the math and that sort of deal. But wait till they get into the social studies and find out that they don't mention any of the founding fathers, and they replace all of their documents and everything with reading text of speeches of Obama and technical tests and text and things like that. Plus, I got an article this morning somebody sent me where Bill Gates, unless you talked about this already, is giving $5 billion to put a video camera in every classroom in America, is what the article says. And so this is to be, you know, filmed in action, teachers filmed in action so they can be evaluated and maybe
right.
improved. So, you know, big brother to the max, because there's, you know, this socialization, this propaganda has two prongs. They have to do the brainwashing, and then they have to have a way to test and find out how effective they're being. And if they're not being effective and getting where they want to go within a specified period of time, then they have to go back and adjust. So the testing is very important for them just to know how successful they are in the socialization of America.
Yeah.
Oh, indeed. And I was just talking about, I'm sorry, Pastor Wayne, New York. You know, we've got some folks in New York that 1,539 principals, as a matter of fact, you know, are signatories to a letter trying to get them out of the race to the top and the assessments that goes with it, because, you know, the teachers' evaluation are now based on the testing. And so there, you know, there's a lot of information, but unfortunately mainstream's not covering that. But still, those parents are working so hard to try, now that they've awakened, you know, it took a while. You know, it took a while for them to get it, took a while for me to get it. But now they're awake, and I really believe, even in that state of New York, Mr. Freeman, that they're going to get out. I think, it's going to be a nationwide. Chuck Grassley's looking into it. The House of Representatives is looking in it. Too bad Dale Marsh wasn't looking into it.
Well, he didn't. He really didn't want to know. You know, we got Lindsey Burke from the Heritage Institute. Heritage Foundation, which is their education expert, and she flew down to Alabama, and we set up a meeting with the Senate caucus. All the senators were supposed to be there, and she had about 25, 30 minutes to talk. Well, when she started talking, Dale Marsh got up and left, and then had the audacity to say when he told the news media he was not going to bring our bill up, that he just didn't know enough about it. Well, he didn't know enough about it because he didn't want to know. Had he wanted to stay and hear her presentation, or even read all the material that we've given to him dozens of times, he would have known something.
My jaw just dropped. I did not know he walked out Mr. Ken. Oh, my, what a crime. What a crime against the parents for him not to study when it's right in front of him, being given to him. What a crime.
Well, we did some very slick flyers and everything and put it in all their mailboxes, actually twice, 2 days in a row, so they couldn't say that they hadn't seen it. And then I went around the Senate, hand-walked them in. I hand-walked the morning that Lindsey Burke was down here. I hand-walked in a copy about an hour before the caucus and gave it to his secretary and asked her to make sure that he saw it. And she pulled out the other two copies and said, oh, yes, we have these and we know all about it. So, you know, and it had all of her credentials and what she was going to talk about and that she was from Heritage and whatnot. So he knew exactly what it was going to be. And he chose to get up and walk out rather than hear it. I suppose that's what they call plausible deniability. But it certainly doesn't make him any less guilty. You know, ignorance is not an excuse,
well,
I think, as they say, under the law.
He should not be in that position as president pro tempore. He should not be in that position. I hope they remove him. That just solidifies what I was thinking.
That's elected by the caucus, so... Yeah, there could be a move to replace him.
I think if there was, they would. That just makes something very wrong. If they would let such a man stay in office, my goodness, Mickey Mouse could do what he does.
Well, when you think about it, what that means is two things. We thought we had enough votes to pass it in the Senate. I'm sure we do now, or he never would have done that. You know, if he didn't think that we were going to get it passed, he would have never put his neck on the line like this. And what happens is his one vote, his decision outweighed the other 34 senators and what they wanted to do. It should have been debated on the floor. Maybe it would have passed. Maybe it wouldn't. But to walk out after it's put on a special order calendar, it's supposed to come up for a debate, and pull it off and then tell the world that he's not going to bring it up this year. That's unbelievably arrogant, and I can't imagine what would motivate him to take that kind of political risk.
Can y'all bring a motion to force a vote on that? It would be a discharge petition because it's out of committee, but can y'all call for a vote or bring a motion to force a vote on that under the rules of the State Senate?
I'm not in a legislature. I mean, I'm a private citizen. We can't do anything like that. And I don't believe at this point it's possible. But I can tell you right last night I saw a couple of the senators going at it on the floor last night. And a lot of that, they were on a different bill, but I think a lot of that was they were exceedingly frustrated at the way that they had been treated on this Common Core thing and how they'd been blindsided because one of them was very strong on our side, and the other guy was Tripp Pittman was on the other side, and they got on him pretty tough. And I'm sure it was because of this. They don't like being treated like that.
It's shabby. It's a very arrogant way of doing business. And I know probably why I'm not in politics, but I really believe if I was a member of the state senate, I would be doing something to remove Del Marsh from his position. And at least force a vote on this thing, if nothing else, going public on it. I mean, all the local coverage in here is this Common Core is the greatest thing since indoor plumbing, and everybody loves it except a few disgruntled grumps, And I mean, it's going to take a lot of work.
All the speakers this morning on their side had two things in common. They're all on the payroll. For Alabama education, they owe their jobs. I mean, their jobs are at risk if they speak otherwise. And all they said is they got up there and just said, "Oh, we love Superintendent Bice, and we believe in his leadership. We're going to follow and do what he says." So it's almost hero worship or hero fear. I'm not sure which. Well, listen, I have got to go do something. We got to be across the street here in just a couple of minutes. So,
thank you, and God bless you, sir. And we'll keep the phone calls coming.
Yeah, keep the prayers coming, too. We need them all.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Well, Pastor Wayne, with that, bye. I think they need to put out the recording of what Mr. Ken Freeman just said, that little snippet. We need to post that everywhere. Pastor Wayne, did I lose you?
No,
I think you're still on, but I know you don't hear me.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to sign off. I've got something came
okay,
up.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and just pray. You want to just close us in prayer?
Okay.
Because it is time.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the guests who've called in. Lord, it's just been a bounty today and a blessing to hear from these people. And Father God, we pray that, Lord, we do not give up on this fight. We pray, Almighty God, that you will move the hearts and minds, particularly Del Marsh, but also our other members of the Senate and the legislature. And Father God, move in our hearts and minds and show us what we need to do to fulfill our part in this fight for the hearts and minds and souls of our children. We pray, Almighty God, that those who are listening will be quickened in their spirit to go forth and speak, Lord. We know there are people who want to do something. Show them. We've given them, Lord, advice. We've given them words of encouragement. We've given them ways they can participate in moving this thing. We pray, God, that you'll move in their hearts to go forth, because it is our fight, Lord, but your battle and your victory, Lord. And we know that no matter what we do, Lord, we know that it's up to you to finish it and bring forth the final victory. That whatever we do, if it's not in your perfect will, if we don't depend on you, it's going to fall to nothing. So God, we ask you to show us what we need to do, and we also ask, Lord, that we have enough faith to trust you to bring forth the victory and give it to you. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this show. I thank you, Almighty God, for your divine blessing on the show. We thank you, God, for the people who called in. Thank you, God, for the people who are listening and who will listen. And we pray, God, that this has been in some way, a fruitful work. In Jesus' name we pray and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Wayne. We'll be talking to you Friday. God bless you,
yep.
Sir, and listeners. We ask that you tune in again tomorrow and go to our website, www.cityonahill.tv, and share the podcast with your friends and family throughout. We're so blessed to have some wonderful folks come on and give us such great information. And we're going to certainly post that on Facebook, the little snippets, unfortunately, of what Del Marsh has done. I'm so sad for him and for the children of Alabama, and the way that this issue regarding parents' authority over their children's education is being treated. They're making promises of college and career ready standards, but they neglected to tell the parents it's at the price of losing parental authority over your child's education. So please be informed. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Goodbye.